cliffcentral.com. Please note that the views expressed and the advice provided in this show are for general advice and entertainment purposes only. Nothing stated should be treated as a substitute for your own independent legal advice based on your own specific facts and objectives. Therefore, the presenter and CliffCentral.com accept no liability of any nature whatsoever, either expressed or implied.
Law, like you've never heard it before. The Laws of Life. With Gary Hertzberg on CliffCentral.com.
I'm Gary Hertzberg, and this is the Laws of Life on CliffCentral.com. Alongside me today, as ever, Lionel Makokotlela.
Yeah, Gary, good afternoon to our listeners, and good afternoon to our guest.
Good. Today we have in studio a man who the police thought was a Nigerian drug lord. Doesn't look like one.
No way.
They raided his house, they smashed his property, and they wrecked his reputation. Sean Early is your name. Welcome, Sean. You're the last guy that looks like a Nigerian drug dealer, I've got to tell you that.
Good afternoon. You're as good white, afternoon to your listeners.
Yeah, you're as white as a white rose.
I was hoping for some tan.
You're a 7 foot, you could be, I mean, if you were dark, you could be a Nigerian in build.
Thank you, Olga, and buy shoe polish.
Sean is you're a plumber by profession, aren't you?
That's right.
Yeah. You're the kind of guy that'll have block any drain. What's the name of your business, Sean?
Yeah, I've got a sense of humor. It's called Thunder Guts Plumbing.
Thunder Guts.
And it's in Benoni.
That's correct.
Is it on the web?
Or
is,
no.
How do we get you?
Word of mouth.
Okay, now, Sean lives in Benoni, and your address is, we won't give the suburb, but what is your address, number 44,
Yeah, 44 Fourth Avenue.
Okay, you live in a 44 Fourth Avenue in Benoni. Have you been there all your life, or is it?
Since 2005.
Okay, so one horrible day, Sean, you weren't at home. You were on your way to Messina or something on a business trip.
That's correct.
And you got some frantic call from who?
It was actually the local security firm CMS.
Yeah.
They phoned me up and said to me, just to let you know that the police are breaking into your property. I was a little bit gobsmacked, and what are you talking about? Says they've arrived in two mini-bus type vehicles loaded full of cops, and they've cordoned off the area. They're chasing everybody away, neighbors and curious onlookers, and they say this is a drug bust. This is a drug den, and we are going to go in and clean it up and arrest all those involved.
Who was home?
Zero.
No
one. Nobody.
So what did they do?
Well, they broke through the driveway gate. They damaged the motor for the driveway gate. They damaged the electric fencing. Yeah. They wandered around the house, peered through all the windows, went through everything around on the outside, found nothing, got in their vehicles and buggered off.
No drugs under the bed?
Absolutely nothing. I phoned the police station twice after hearing about this.
Yeah.
Left messages for the cops to phone me and, you know, to find out what the hell is going on.
Yeah.
Still waiting. This incident was January 2014.
Sorry, did they come in police vehicles or unmarked cars?
I don't know. I wasn't there. I just know it was two sort of minibus type vehicles full of cops.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were marked, but they were obviously in uniform.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't let the local security firm close to the house or the neighbors or anything like that. I suppose that's sort of security and understanding for safety for the public. If there was a Nigerian drug den there and they were armed and things like that, you know, things could have gotten ugly. So, you know, I can appreciate the police trying to keep people back.
Yeah.
But I'll get the address right.
So you phoned the cops and they said what? They never returned your call?
No, I got through to the police station. I can't remember. It was a female at the police station.
Right.
I said, listen, you guys have gone and broken into my house, accusing me of being a drug lord and all the rest of it. Can you please give me some sort of information here? Can you, to the officer in charge, can he please, you know, return my phone call so that I can try and work out what the
hell
is going on?
Did you know it was the drug squad or I don't know?
As I said, I was halfway to Messina.
You don't know which division of the police it was?
I just know it was the local police station.
Okay.
I found out who the police officer was in charge, and I left messages for him to find me, and I'm still waiting.
You know, he never phoned you?
No, of course not. 3 years later, court case done, finished. And I'm still waiting.
So when did you get back from Messina? The next day or?
No. This was on a Thursday and we got back on Sunday. We carried on with the business trip.
And the house was left, what, unbroken?
Well, I spoke to one of my neighbors who has a security firm, and I asked him to secure the perimeter at least until we get back.
Yeah.
Which he duly did for me. And thank you to my neighbor.
So when did you find out anything of importance here? When did you find out who it was or what they were looking for?
Well, it was while we were traveling through to Messina that I spoke to the neighbor, I spoke to the security firm. They'd phoned me initially,
yeah,
and they told me, yeah, they've done this, they've gone in, they've broken through the fence. And
but did you know it was a drug bust?
Yes, because the security firm told me, and the police told them to, stand back because this is a drug bust.
Mm.
And I was sort of, okay, this is rather interesting. And over the next week or two afterwards, when I'd gotten back, I had spoken to the local security firm, and they said, yeah, no, they understand what happened. Mm. So I said, well, explain. He says to me, they've got the address wrong. So I sort of, what do you mean you got the address wrong? He says, well, 44 4th Street was a drug den. That's a known drug den. The security firm knows it's a drug den.
Yeah.
The local community policing forum also knows it was a drug den. Everybody they know where the house is.
Uh-huh.
But the cops, I don't know.
Is it it's a completely different suburb to where you
are? No. It's actually a couple of blocks away from where stay. It's not that far.
Yeah.
It's probably not more than between 2 and 3 kilometers direct.
Did you know the street?
Well, I've traveled the street plenty.
Did you know there was a drug den?
No, I had absolutely no idea whatsoever.
Yeah.
Obviously, since that incident, I drove past there many times and sort of gave it the hairy eyeball as I drove past.
Yeah.
A very strange thing came to light last year. A friend of mine said to me that they have a friend who actually owns that house.
Oh.
And they were battling to get those people out because they had heard that this was a drug dealing operation. And apparently it's now been cleaned up and they've been thrown out.
Did the police ever apologize to you?
No, that's why I took them to court.
They never said, sorry, we got the wrong place. Not a word. They didn't come forward and offer to pay for anything?
Not a single phone call.
What did they damage? I mean, what was the cost of the damage?
About 15,000 rand gates, electric fencing, which I just replaced the previous day. The guys had literally finished on the Wednesday afternoon replacing all the electric wiring because I had steel instead of aluminium and the steel was rusting through. So I replaced it all with aluminium, and the guys finished on the Wednesday afternoon. Thursday morning, cops came in and damaged the whole lot.
Maybe they were waiting for it. They're rubbing their hands if you've got something to damage.
Oh, thanks.
Now, what about your neighbors, the people in the area? They must have thought you were an absolute scumbag.
Well, even the guy who helped initially, the security guy, he was commissioned to come and stand in court as a witness.
Yeah.
And I overheard him talking to the attorney.
Yeah.
And he was saying, well, he's got at the time, I think his daughter was about 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And he sort of said, well, maybe the neighborhood is going down the tubes. Maybe he needs
to
get out of
there. Maybe
he's
a drug dealer, yeah.
Yeah. And I think obviously since 2014, January, I think he's calmed down a little bit. But, unfortunately.
It's embarrassing.
They've planted a seed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And anything that looks slightly untoward, suspicion just throws everything out the window. And then, people sort of, there must be something going on there.
Okay, so you went to an attorney called Conrad Rontgen.
Yes.
In Pretoria.
I was about the fourth attorney.
Okay.
The first attorney I started off with complained bitterly about the legal system and how frustrating it has become over the years. And I think my case was just the last straw of the camel's back. He decided that he's not going to be involved in law anymore. Mm. And he quit the law profession.
I hope he didn't take any money with him that he shouldn't.
No.
After the last show.
Well, not in my case anyway. Yeah. And he's now farming in the Free State somewhere. A hell of a nice guy. He put me onto somebody else. They stuffed around for about 8-10 months. Mm. Did absolutely nothing with it. When I started to push them, they said to me, oh, sorry, we can't handle your case. Come and fetch your documentation. And I'm thinking, you've had it for nearly a year.
Mm.
what have you done? Absolutely nothing. You've just wasted my time. You know?
So you had a claim against the police, a claim against the second lawyer. You were building up claims.
Yeah, and then eventually you ended up at Conrad. And thank very much, Conrad. He, you know, walked the distance and we went all the way.
So you sued. I've got a copy of your summons that Conrad sent to me.
Yes.
And you sued for two things. You sued for the amount of $15,641 for damages.
Physical damages.
Physical damages. And then your second claim is for R100,000, and you say that that the police, I mean, what you said earlier is exactly the way you encapsulated. You say that it made you feel uncomfortable because the neighbors presumed that you probably were a drug dealer. I mean, exactly. Who really knew the answer?
Exactly.
The police may have come in and found a whole stash of stuff there.
Yeah.
So it may not be your direct neighbor, but the people in the area, you know, gets heard.
Yeah.
They're told that Sean is a drug dealer.
The cops have been there to do a drug bust, you know. Whether it was valid or not is irrelevant.
Yeah, absolutely.
But now all of a sudden, drug bust at that house. Okay, there must be, you know, some sort of problem there.
So your 100,000 is really for wrecking your reputation.
Absolutely.
If we can put it. Okay. Now, the police got the summons and they messed around defending and filing pleas of denial and all kinds of stuff.
Absolutely.
And your summons went out on the 9th of September 2015.
Yes.
And eventually you got to court in this month.
Yes.
Okay?
Three weeks ago.
Yep. We're very current. Yeah, you arrived at court in Pretoria, okay, because you sued the Minister of Police for this money.
Correct.
And there they arrived and they said what?
Well, the attorney went and approached the Minister of Police's attorney.
Yeah.
They had a bit of a conversation. He asked him if he was ready to proceed because we had various witnesses. And the guy just folded immediately and said, no, it's fine. We admit guilt. So we didn't actually even get into court because he realized he was up against a formidable force.
Now, you know who's paying the legal fees of the Minister of Police?
Us.
Aren't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Every last
if they'd come to you up front from day one and said, Sean, I'm sorry we botched here. We went to the wrong house. You would have said,
it would have been so much cheaper.
Yeah. They've paid thousands and thousands for defense that was eventually capitulated. Yeah.
Completely.
Shocking. I've got a copy of the settlement agreement that was signed at court. It says the defendant will pay 100% of what you can prove.
Mm-hmm.
Not the amount that you've claimed, but what you can prove. And they're going to pay your costs. So not only is the Minister of Safety and Security paying his own lawyer, he's going to pay your lawyer the majority of the costs. And it's costs of expert reports, it's costs of preparing the pre-trial and the trials. It's a very expensive exercise, fortunately in the magistrate's court, which is cheaper. But this is costing us as taxpayers a fortune of money, and it could have been resolved right up front.
Absolutely.
There was no need for the minister to even defend this darn thing. I mean, it was obvious that they'd made a mistake. They should have come forward and said, listen, up front, we're sorry, and we'll pay you for your damages and get out of here.
Give me a letter saying we apologize that we got the address wrong and fix what
you see,
break.
I like people like you, Sean, because most people would just kind of leave this alone. They say, oh, all right, I lost $15,000. But you pursued it, and that's why we wanted you in here. You're the kind of guy that, you know, stands up for what's right.
Absolutely.
You still now have to prove your damages.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the next leg, or have they settled you?
That's going to be negotiated now between Conrad and the Minister of Police's legal side.
So you're going to send them your
They've got copies of all the invoices and that already for the material damages.
Yeah,
it's the character damages that are going to be negotiated.
Yeah, well, you claiming 100,000, they may say, listen, we'll give you 10 or 5 or 20 or whatever it may be, because the whole world doesn't think you're a scumbag. Only half the world, including us, hey, Lance.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks very much.
Okay. So, Sean, you lost some friends as a result of this. You may have new friends standing outside your door.
I don't know if I want those friends.
we can get something here. No. So you're going to have to wait and see how much you get out of this.
Yeah, and the attorney is busy with it, and they will negotiate with the Minister of Police's legal side.
You wouldn't let up on this one, eh, Sean? You said, these guys must just apologize. That's what you wanted.
Look, if I believe I'm right, I don't back off. I've gone through 2-3 other court cases as well, not with the police, with other issues, business issues and things like that. And I've taken it the whole way. If I'm right, I believe I'm right, and I'm going to, you know, take it.
I mean, this could cost you in lawyers' fees more than the whole thing is worth. Not this particular one, but it could have.
Absolutely.
You are going for a 15,000 rand claim plus damages that you've got to prove.
Yes.
And your lawyers' fees are so high, you said, I don't care. I want, this is a principal issue with
Absolutely.
Me. Absolutely. Many people should adopt that approach. Absolutely. We get richer as lawyers as well.
You know, the... As you mentioned earlier, you know, if they just come back and said, look, hell, we're so sorry, but we just got the address wrong. We screwed up, you know. Please accept our apologies. You know, what does it take to fix it up? Here's a letter apologizing. And a tenth of the price.
For sure.
At, you know, if that.
Yeah.
You know, but no, because of the arrogance and, you know, we are the police. We are right. You end up with this kind of scenario.
Fortunately, there was no one home. There could have been little kids home.
Exactly.
And this impacts on them forever.
Oh,
the
absolutely.
Police bursting in. There's been a movie. I don't know if you know those, the one or two movies. Anyone know about them?
Where yeah, the there police... was a movie a couple of years ago in America where,
where
it happened exactly the same, but the cops didn't just turn around and walk away. What they did is they planted.
Yes.
They planted some drugs there. And it was based on a true story. And the family spent many years having to hide from police while they fought this legal battle, because the police just kept, you know, terrorizing.
Remember the name of that movie?
I can't.
I can't remember it either. Lange, you don't know it? No. Interesting.
But it was quite a good movie.
Sean, we have a minute and a bit left. Plumbing. Do you do industrial stuff or your day to day stuff?
Everything.
What is a plumber? What is the right call out charge for a plumber today? What's the average? Is a piece of string?
How long is a piece of string?
Yeah. Because whenever
good plumbers,
I call out,
you get bad plumbers.
You call out a plumber in Sandton, and they come there, and it's, you know, there's always materials, and it's always like never less than 1,000 rand. I don't know what it is.
Unfortunately, you don't know the value of plumbing until you don't have it.
Yeah, absolutely. But sometimes what's major to us is a tiny blockage that you just pump something and then it's all kinds of.
Never ever underestimate the power of
a plunger.
A plunger. I promise you, invest in a good soft-cupped quality plunger, and you can use it for a lot of things.
People listening that may be young and looking to go into some kind of business, is this a good business?
Oh, yeah, it is. Never run out of business.
You've got to have that inclination. Not everybody's cut out for it.
Yeah.
I've got two sons, and they don't want to be involved.
Really?
They don't. They've helped me out administrative-wise, and the other one helped me out for a short while, but they
what
don't.
What are the names of your sons?
Nicholas and Denon.
Nicholas and Denon early. Well done, guys.
And then my daughter, Jade, and she's never been involved, obviously.
Yeah. We've been speaking to Sean early. He's made his way to Rivonia, to our studios from Benoni. Very nice of you, Sean, to tell us a very courageous story. We love these.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Good luck. I hope you get a decent payout here.
Thank you very much. And to the listeners, thank you very much.
Cool. Thanks. Cheers.
All the best. Bye. Cheerio.
Cheers. Bye.
Law, like you've never heard it before. The Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg on CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.